Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
All this morning, we're asking Father for wisdom, revelation, and understanding. We're demanding mighty and everlasting Father that you grant us insight into your Word. And cause, O God of glory, my listeners to receive, O God of glory, personal revelation as the word comes forth. For growth, for edification, for rebuke, for correction, that will be thoroughly furnished under good works. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we continue with our series on the voice of life. You know, like I'm trying to say, John 10:27 is the key we're dealing with. The ultimate goal of our worship is getting back to Jesus Christ. I mean to God, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's going to be on the machine? You've got to be smart. The word said, my sheep hear my voice and know them and they know me. They follow me. That's what we're actually dealing with. We just examine this. I try to make you understand this. If not for the fall in Eden, there wouldn't have been a mediator. The mediator is one who brings two factions together. Because of Adam fell, was estranged from God. Bible said, become an enemy of God, in quote, through the thoughts of the heart. You must understand as well. So was the next thing that happened? Jesus had to come to mediate so that that relationship that was broken might be reconnected. So the ultimate goal of worship is that you be brought back to God. Give me Amplified Translation. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 20 or 21. I want to show you something there. Praise the Lord. Now, this is Joseph in relation to Mary, when Mary became pregnant and they have not met together. Bible says, but as he was thinking this over, he was thinking of what to do. In fact, he has concluded in his heart how to put Mary aside so as not to make public disgrace of her because she was pregnant and they have not met together. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceiving her is and from out of the Holy Spirit. Look at the next thing. She will bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. That is, look at this, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. From failing, watch that, and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. King James. Hallelujah. For Christ also had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God and put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, what I want you to know there is, bring God back to who? To God. That is the ministry. He died to bring God back to God. He came to reconcile us who were separated from God. This is the ultimate aim of your being in church. It's not because of the miracles you must get. Praise God. Now, it means if there were no issues in the garden, which is a separation issue, Jesus will have no need to come. So he came to bring God back to our Father. And so, like I keep saying, when the disciples say, "Teach us to pray," he simply told them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" And that means my Father is also what? Your Father. The separation is no more. And so if God becomes your Father, you must hear God for yourself. This is what I'm saying. This is the point I'm raising. The separation is over. You are no longer separated from God. You are one with God. You are united back to God. You cannot walk with God. You can fellowship with God. Why? By reason of the death of Jesus Christ. And this is where now you begin to hear his voice. Part of the fellowship you have with God is where you hear God speak to you. When you hear God talk to you. When you communicate with God on a personal level. Not with an intermediary anymore. Hallelujah. Are we here together, people? I need to get what I'm trying to say. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Matthew 4, 3 and 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Look at verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." The proceeding word is not the same thing as the word of yesterday. I mean, for every situation, there is a word for it. The proceeding word is a live word for your life, for a situation, for every circumstance that you find yourself. Life is based on the proceeding word, not what was said yesterday, because yesterday's manna cannot solve today's problem. That is why I discovered that Moses told them, on the seventh day, which is supposed to be a day of rest, don't go on getting manners for yourself. Get the one you have on the sixth day. It's going to last you to the other day. For those who went to collect, what happened? The Bible says he bred worms. Hallelujah. Yesterday's word cannot sustain you for today, because the circumstance of yesterday is not what you're experiencing today. Remember what we read in the book of Psalm 50, 14, 15 this morning? Amen. There is a place where God delivers you from trouble. Now, your trouble of yesterday is not your trouble of today. So, if you had a trouble yesterday, and God gave you a word for that trouble yesterday, it's not the same for today. The trouble of today is different from the trouble of yesterday. So you need a fresh word for that trouble of today. Are you getting what I'm saying here? That's why it's called proceeding word. The word that comes out regularly on a daily basis. It has to be fresh for the circumstance or situation that you find yourself. That's why it's called proceeding word. And Jesus is saying, life is based on the proceeding word, not the word that already got out warm yesterday. So it's not a question of, this is what we used to do it, this is what I used to know. No, no, no. For you to live, you're in your own situation, you know what's going on. How much were you buying a basket of rice, basket of beans yesterday? Is that the same thing you still buy now? Okay. So you need extra value of money to be able to survive your economic situation now. Am I correct? And that's exactly what we're saying. Your problem of yesterday cannot be solved by what you had yesterday. There's a fresh problem. You need a fresh word. You need a fresh mind from God to be able to revolve that. It's a mind must live by the proceeding word. Not just by the word, but by proceeding word. And where is this word coming from? It come from the pages of newspaper. I mean, pages of the Bibles. It can come from the, you know, from basically the Holy Spirit flowing out and from within you. God communicating because it's residing with you right now. His life is in your life. Out of the belly of those that believe shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Not river, rivers of living water. Out of the belly of those that believe. So you need to understand where we are. When we talk about the voice of life, this is what Jesus is saying here. Life is based on the preceding word. Don't take the word of yesterday to solve to this problem. No, no, no. That's why you must come close to God to know what he's saying. Amen. About your life, about your situation. This is not dependent upon an intermediary. It's not dependent upon a third party. It directly connected to your relationship to God, because he died to bring us back to God. Understand that 1 Peter 3 verse 18. He died to bring us back to God. He didn't die so that we can be religious. He didn't die so that, oh, come on, come to church and they'll give us money. I know that. You know, somebody made a statement recently. Yes, that is relatively correct. What he was trying to say when he said that you don't need God to succeed. How many of you heard about that? It was controversial. Yeah, largely fine. That is true. But you see, the difference is you must understand that there is a difference between the word of the Gentiles or the word of the unbeliever and the word of the believer. Psalm 37 tells you that, fret not, you know, because of the success and the life of the believer. But what I'm trying to point out is this. You are not in church because you want to make money. Does that make sense? Yes. You are in church to build relationship. After building that relationship, God provides for you. The Bible tells us he gives to us that we pertain to life and godliness. And the blessings of the Lord, he has no sorrow to it. That's the difference between you and the unbeliever. So, the first point is reconnection with God. Coming back to him. Building that relationship. Jesus said, you come back to your father. Adam broke you up, but I'm bringing you back. Now you can talk to him. Adam, he himself. Remember, when you read in the scripture and say, Adam, where are thou? It's not because God was blind. He doesn't know where he was. Do you think that was it? No. God is omniscient. He sees everything. So why was he asking Adam, where are thou? Now people think Adam was hiding, so God wouldn't see him. That's to look down on God. What he was saying, now that I've eaten, what is now your condition? What is your state of being now? Come on, is anybody following what I'm saying? Yeah, you were in glory, you were in dominion, you were in power. Now you ate. What is now your condition? That's a question God asked Adam. Not that because he wasn't seeing Adam. Where can you hide from God? David said, even when I go under the hell, you are going to be there. If I go under the sea, you will see me. So Adam was not hiding from God in any way that he cannot see God. God could see him, but he was saying, now that you're eating of that tree that I ask you not to eat, what is now your condition? Can you explain where you are now? So now, what brought Adam down was the voice. What will bring Adam back to what? To life should be what? A voice. This is why we're dealing with the voice of life. Hallelujah. This is the ultimate. So that you become a child of God, you should be able to hear God for yourself. You should be able to have the personal relationship. You don't need an intermediary in any manner. If you understand what it means to be matured, you got to live by the preceding word on a regular basis. You want to take decision. What is God saying about the decision you want to take? It's very easy to be religious, but it's a little bit difficult to be a Christian. And that may be conflicting. Hallelujah. It's difficult to be a Christian, but it's easy to be religious. As a religious person, you can do whatever thing you want, provided you have the label, you have the tag on your forehead. But to be a Christian, you are abiding by the dictates of the voice of God. I remember I read to you from Acts 16 how Paul and Acts chapter 10, how Paul intend to move to Phrygia, to the God we say, don't go. You want to go there, don't go. Remember that? Before finally you have to go to where? To Macedonia. That's how to be a Christian. Amen. Give me John chapter 3. Let's look at this. What I'm going to read for you now. John 3, I just want to take. Okay, let's look at verse 8 down a little bit. The wind blew it where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't dictate your life if you are truly born again. That's what Jesus said there. You can understand the wind. It comes here, it comes. You don't even know how it's blowing, where it's coming from. Sometimes it's coming from this side. The other time it's coming from the other side. Is that okay? You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. That is the way the life of a child of God is. You can dictate your life. You are a slave of righteousness. And it takes a voice to walk in this dimension. So we have those who walk in the flesh. We have those who walk in the spirit. Amen. To walk in the spirit is to hear the voice. To walk in the spirit is to be led by the spirit which is within you. Here is the word Jesus said. You can't dictate the life of a child of God. That's why Solomon would say in the book of Proverbs, there are many devices in the heart of a man. Oh man, hallelujah. He said, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. You may have all your plans put together, but it's what God wants for you. That is what's going to happen. If like kill your head, if you like use all the formulas you want, if you like use all the philosophies that you gather from people, yes, do all of those things. But what God wants for you, that's what's going to happen. Unless you are not a child of God. So the wind blow wherever it listed, you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. That is the way the life of a child of God is. Praise God. Somebody say, must I not have plans? Yes, you got to have plans. But those plans must synchronize with the mind, the will, and the purpose of God. Amen. I have a plan for my life, but where am I today? I told you severally. I never for one day intended I have to be a preacher. Never. I hated preaching. I hated being in the pulpit. I hated anything called pastoring. I never loved it. Never wanted it in my life. My own plan was, I'm going to get to the very peak of academics. That's my decision. That was my plan. And I was pursuing it. Right? But halfway God said, you can't continue. You must come this way. I have no option. I told you the experience I had when I was in Port Harcourt. Why my heart was literally expanding within me. I knew I was dying. At about 1 a.m. in the night, nobody was around. I was alone in the room. Right? And what's the next thing that happened? I was sweating. My heart was expanding within me. And then I cried out, oh Lord, is it where I'm going to die? And then he gave me a scripture, Proverbs 9:11. By me shall your days be multiplied. By me shall your years be increased. Simple word. I have no option. I put down my resignation letter right then. 1990 submitted to the authority of Uniport. That's how I walked out. It's not about what you want, except God have not arrested you. It's not about what you want. It's not about what you think. The wind blew where it listed, and no man. I hated being a pastor. I must be honest with you. I have told my son several times, if I have a choice, I will resign. Because of people's attitude. Because of the way pastoring is being handled. Is anybody follow what I'm talking about? But God said, there you are. You know, it's like what he told Paul on the road to Damascus. He said, there's nothing you can do against the pricks. In other words, once you're arrested, you're arrested. A priest now have no choice of his own. That's the way it is. You live by the preceding word. Are you following me? I want you to get it. Your life is not your own. Somebody owns your life. Can I hear an amen to that? It's not your own. You think it's your life, you don't own a life. God owns your life, and he the one to dictate your life. That's why we walk into trouble, because we try to dictate our life by ourselves. Amen. Proceeding what is the key. Let's move on just a little bit. Go with me to Luke chapter 7. We're going to read a little story here. You know the story about the centurion? Centurion servant that was sick. Luke chapter 7, verse number 1. Now when he has entered his saints, all his saints and his audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was there unto him was sick. Help me, Father. I'm ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews beside him, that he will come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he had loved our nation and had built us a synagogue. Notice that. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now some far away from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should come enter under my roof. Therefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Hallelujah. Saying a word. Send your word. Don't come. I don't need to have you under my roof. Neither am I worthy to come to you. I don't need any physical contact. I don't need a physical Jesus. All I want is a word. Praise God. Verse number 8. For I must say, man set under authority, having me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he go, and to another, come, and he come unto my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and told him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not where in Israel. If you read the Bible, anywhere you see great faith, they were all talking about the Gentiles. Now, there's two things I need to point out to you here. Verse 5 is very key. Number 5 is this. Go and heal the servant, because he had built out a synagogue. Did you get that? Your works. I'm trying to say that. When did I say this? Last week? During prayer meeting or so. I tried to make you see that. Sometimes your works are more than your prayers. And that is not something. You see, people will always say, well, David, what are you trying to say? I'm not looking at your prayers, but the life you live in relation to God matters a lot in answering your prayers. How many of you remember in Acts chapter 10? What did the angel tell Cornelius? Your almsgiving and your prayers. Not just your prayers, your almsgiving and your prayers. And guess what? All the people that were good in almsgiving, they were not even Jews. Hallelujah. Cornelius was not a Jew, but he was good in almsgiving. That is what we don't know. That is what we don't give value to. We are good at praying, but we don't know how to do good. Your almsgiving and your prayers. That's the word that came to Cornelius. Here the people say, hey, Jesus, you need to go wake up this child or heal this child, whatever the case may be. Because this man, you see, had built for us what? A synagogue. So what really healed the child or the servant? The temple. The almsgiving. What this man did is what commanded the response of Jesus to the healing of the child. The people came to present it. How many of you remember? Was it Hezekiah and Hezekiah when he was to die? God said, you look, listen, you're going to die. Isaiah, go tell him he has to die. I said so. And he said, well, you want me to die? I have no problem. But remember the things I've done. Remember what this, remember what, remember the things I've done. And God looked at what he had done and told back Isaiah, go back to him and tell him, okay, I'm giving him another 15 years. What gave Hezekiah 15 years? The things he had done. What do you have to say when you are praying? What do you have to show to God as a witness? Somebody said, oh, Christ died for us. We don't need anything. You are just being religious. I'm just giving you a scripture here. There's nothing you can do about that. Except you're going to tear this page out of the Bible. You go heal this child because he built us a temple. Simple. Your alms given and your prayers have become a memorial before God. Simple. Tear the sin out of the Bible and tell me another gospel that you want to preach. Amen. Is anybody following me? I want you to get this. Now, the key point again. He said, don't bother to come. Just send in the word. Get that. And my servant shall be healed. Just send in the word. I want you to get that point because it's very important. Send in the word. Or a word. And my servant shall be healed. You need to, you see, some of you are waiting for physical Jesus before you can receive whatever thing you need to receive. You don't need all that. Look at that. But say in a word. Say in a word. And my servant shall be healed. you can say the same thing to yourself, to your situation. Say in a word. Praise God, somebody. You don't need to come here. I don't need you under my roof. Say in a word wherever you are. And my situation will change. I'm talking about the voice of life. So when Jesus sent in the word, what happened to the servant? Servant was healed. Life was impacted to the servant. Transformation came to the servant that was sick and dead. Hallelujah. We must come to that place where we can. So what am I trying to make you understand? No matter how deadly your situation could be, if you can allow the word of God to come into it, life will be impacted to it again. Amen. Praise the living God. Okay. Exodus 23, verse number 20. This is your responsibility. Hallelujah. 23:20. Behold, now God is sending children of Israel to the promised land. Hallelujah. I see life for somebody. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to give thee the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now, I need you to understand this. Everything that you will ever acquire or come to in life is already prepared before you were born. When you're born as a child of God, the Holy Spirit leads you to the fulfillment of your life. There is always a place prepared for God's people. That's the place where I call that prophetic destiny. Your destiny is in the hands of God. There's a prepared place for you to come to the place of what we call rest. If only you can understand who God is. If only you can follow God. There's a place called rest that he has prepared for you. You have your Canaan in God. He only wants you to pay attention and to follow the leading of the Spirit, which is the angelic Spirit of God. Actually, this is Christ in spirit form. Amen. Verse 21. Beware of him and obey what? His voice. Hallelujah. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. My nature is in him. My character is in him. My attributes in him. He bears my name. Obey what? His voice. The voice of life that takes you to your prophetic destiny. The destination that I have for you is Canaan. And one voice will lead you to Canaan. Don't provoke him. How do you provoke the voice? By rebellion. And one of the things why you don't move forward in what God has ordained for your life is your rebelliousness towards the voice that God is sending forth. It could be through a man, it could be through a pastor, it could be through the pages of the papers, I mean the Bible, it could be the voice from within you. Amen. The more you walk in rebellion to this voice, the more difficult it's going to be for you to get to your prophetic destiny. But I assure you that there's a destination God has for your life. Praise the living God. Beware of him, provoke him not. Obey his voice. Look at the next thing. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, listen, obey his voice, I speak. Can you see anything there? That means God was speaking through this being. Hallelujah. Obey his voice, do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to what? To your adversaries. Hallelujah. So here God is promising to protect and defend his people. If they listen to his voice and obey his command, he will fight your enemies anytime, anywhere. You spend time fighting enemies, but the quickest way to defeat your enemies is to listen to the voice of the Lord. Why not you leave this battle sometime for God and just listen to what he says? Praise the living God. I think in Jerusalem or wherever, they wanted to keep Paul. God was alive. Paul had all the powers, remember? But scripture tells us that he was let down through a basket. How many of you remember that? He didn't have to stand there and say, oh, come on, come. In the name of Jesus, all your enemy die. No, he didn't do that. The Bible said he opened a window, took the basket. The guy entered, a whole apostle of God entered the basket. They let him down in the night and they sent him away. I will be an enemy to your enemy and those who want to. Can you take another translation, please? Hallelujah. This is a problem we have. What's the problem we have? We are not obeying the voice. We are not listening to the voice. We are not following what God says. We're taking the place of God. We want to take God's place in our life. By implication, we want to be a God to ourselves. He said, I will deal with your enemies. Those want to oppose you. But if you obey him and do everything I tell you, I'll be an enemy to your enemies. I'll fight those who fight you. Praise God. Are people fighting you? This is the answer. Obey his voice and stop fighting people. He will fight those who fight you. But you won't listen. You want to fight those who are fighting you. That's why you are failing. Because Jesus told Paul, said, you are made strong in weakness. Is that okay? And on Friday in the prayer meeting, we read the powerful scripture of 1 Corinthians, I'm sure. And it tells us that God called the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Until you become a fool in this world, you can't get the victory that God has for you. He said, get the weak to confound the mighty. You don't have to be strong to succeed as a Christian. You got to be weak to become successful. In your weakness, the power of God is made manifest. I will fight those who fight you. How can God give you such promises and yet you turn around and want to fight those who are fighting you? It means you don't have understanding. It means you are not hearing the voice. He said, if you truly can obey the voice, I'll fight those who do what? Who fight you. Praise the living God. Are we still together here? I needed to get this thing right. Last week I was thinking of stopping this series, but I couldn't. And even now, I'm thinking of stopping after this series, after this today's own, but something again is still speaking to me. Does he talk to you about that? I'm beginning to see why it's faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. In other words, there's a place for constantly reminding you of what you should know until it sinks in. I had a conversation with a brother yesterday. Called me all the way from the West. He said, I just wanted to greet you. After greeting, then I asked, have you started following the new series? He said, no. But I'm compiling them. But the point is this. The one you taught on the image, the likeness of God, I'm still working on it until it becomes part of me. I listen to it over and over and over again. Now, when I see messages that I know speaks about life, I want them to become part of me before I move to something else. Faith comes by hearing regularly, hearing by the voice of God. How many of you are taking advantage of what God is sharing with us? More people are benefiting from even what you are receiving now. Because bringing transformation to their life now, bringing their relationship to become one with God, that they might be one even as we are one. That's the key point. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So yeah, I say, if only you can obey my voice, I'll take care of your enemies for you. No matter how many they are. And sometimes I used to wonder, you will try to fight enemies. How many enemies do you think you have? That's how you fool yourself. You don't even know how many people are actually against you right now. You don't know. But you're on your path. You're trying to figure out a lot of people whom you feel that are your enemies. You're fighting them, but there are other ones somewhere else that are trying to bring you down. So why not you just obey the voice and allow him to deal with those people who wants to fight with you? Which is easier, obeying his voice or calculating how many enemies you have to fight with? I am a free man. I don't think about what anybody does. No, that's not my issue. Whatever thing you want to do, go ahead doing it. If you succeed, okay for you. But I know one thing, you will never succeed if you try to come against me. Why did I say that? Scripture said that they are surely gathered together, but not by me. He said, if any man shall gather for thy sake, they shall fall, for I have not sent them. So I know, if you try to gather against me, you're going to fall. That's what the scripture says. I just have to obey the voice. Praise the living God. Let's round up a popular scripture which you know. Maybe next week I'm going to break it down, but let's just read through it. Psalm 23, popular scripture, everybody knows this. Verse number 1. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why will you not want? Because he's your shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice. I want you to get the connection. Hallelujah. You can't quote this when you don't listen to God. You don't need it. It's not for you. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. I shall want nothing. Why? Because whatever thing he asks me to do, I will do. It's not meant for everybody quotation. I'll put it on a plate and put it on the wall, on a dining table. No, you're wasting time. This is meant for those who can listen to God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me. The voice of stranger, they will not follow. Therefore, the Lord, who is my shepherd, makes it impossible for me to want anything. Why is it going to be so? Listen, look at the next thing. He maketh me to lie down where? In green pastures. He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. How is he leading you? Through the voice. When the shepherd comes out and the sheep begins to follow, he takes them to the place of still waters where there's green pasture and he stand. Once they stand, they're all going to start grazing right there. The voice will take you to the place of success. The voice will take you to the place of abundance. It takes you to the place of rest. That's what the voice does. That's the voice of the shepherd. It's not enough to, oh, come on, Psalm 23. Let's recite this. What do you call that? Is it doxology? What do you call that? I mean, when you close church service and say, let's recite this together, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just start quoting. You're just reciting like a Muslim. Nothing is in your head. We're talking of those who have relationship. My sheep hear my voice. And so David said, I listen to what God says. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Why? Because he lead me to the place of still waters, to the place of green pastures. So when he takes me there, whatever thing I need comes to me. Hallelujah. So you're talking about a situation where you actually listen to the voice of God. He leads you in your business places. He opens doors for you. Look at what he said. If I open a door, no man can shut. Hallelujah. If I open a door, no man can shut. No matter what people try to do to shut your door of success, it's not going to be possible once you listen to the voice and it leads you to that very place that intends you to be. Can I hear an amen? Praise God. I said I'm going to deal with this fully next week, but let me just read through. What's the next thing there? He restored my soul. Hallelujah. He leaded me in the path of righteous men forward for his name's sake. Hallelujah. You won't do things that are contrary to the mind of God, because for his name's sake, he will allow you to do it. He won't allow you to do it. Oh, come on. Working with God or being a Christian is so easy when you can hear the voice. You want to take a decision, he will say, no, don't take that decision, because that will not bring glory to me. You want to embark on a project, say, no, don't go into that, because that's not going to exalt my name. He said, he'll lead you on the path of all righteousness for his name's sake, not because of you. He's doing it for his own sake. He wants his name magnified. He wants his name glorified. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So it's not about struggling. No. It's about hearing. It's not about struggling. It's about listening. It's about getting the facts from his mouth. Is this God? Once you know it is God, come on, key into it. No matter what people think about it, men will say, oh, this can't be. You just go ahead doing what God asks you to do, friends. Hallelujah. Be sure it is God. Be sure it is not from your own mind. Be sure it's not from somebody's suggestion. Be sure this is God. Once you know it is God, go ahead doing it. For his name's sake, for his name shall be what? Shall be glorified. How many of you really want to be children of God? How many of you really want to hear the voice of God? How many of you truly want to follow God? It's so easy to be a Christian, but it's much more laborious to be a religious person. That's why I say, come unto me. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you understand that? The way I present myself to people is so easy to follow. If you go by religious way, you're going to have issues on your head. Calculating what you must do to please the Father. You don't need anything to please him. You only need to hear the voice. Doing exactly what he asks you to do. For his righteousness' sake, for his name's sake, he will make you do those things that are right. That's righteousness. To live right with God comes from the voice of the Father.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.